The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 550, recorded on October 8th, 2019.
Welcome to the 550th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 383rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I'm TJ Denzer.
I'm Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and a gaming flashback.
Yep. Just realized it's 550, so it's 5.5 hundredths.
Nice.
Yep. This podcast has been around a while. Very few podcasts have been hit the 500 mark, much less the 550 mark. I'm going to get this podcast started in 2007, making this the 12th. Well, actually, it's near the 13th year because it started in February of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is coming close to its 13th year, everybody.
If you wanted to celebrate that, yeah.
Anyway, the gaming flashback, I decided to go with an older game and a more infamous game. And we're not only going to cover good games. So, TJ, gaming flashback.
So this one is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is an adult-oriented romantic comedy graphic adventure.
By the way, the copy has romantic comedy in quotes. So, yeah, it is a quote-unquote romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's a graphic adventure game and dating sim developed and published by Kirin Entertainment for the 3DO Interactive multiplayer. Although the game did have a PC version, it had very limited distribution and was published by United Pictures itself. The game stars Edward J. Foster and Jean Besson as John and Jane, respectively. Two people who are being pressured by their respective parents and to go out and find a spouse. The player's task is to get John and Jane together. Plumbers Don't Wear a Tie has received negative attention for its lackluster production value, nonsensical storyline, poor acting and humor, and for primarily being presented as a slideshow despite being advertised as a full-motion video game. As a result, it is considered one of the worst games of all time. A full-motion video clip features the character Jane introducing the player to the main objective and basic rules of the game. From that point onwards, the entire format is that of still photographs with actors reading the dialogue. The narrator also changes once during the game before being changed back to the original a few scenes later. That's just bad.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1990s, Los Angeles locals John, played by Edward J. Foster, and Jane, played by Jean Besson. Oh, this is kind of a repeat of what was right before it. John, a plumber, is told by his mother, played by Violetta Javorkian.
It's like Kevorkian, but with you don't have to worry about the actors, just tell the plot.
To go to her house with John's current girlfriend, Amy, for dinner at 6 p.m. College student Jane, meanwhile, who is considered a daddy's girl, quote-unquote, is going to a job interview, having disliked her coworkers at her previous job.
You know, here's the funny thing, is that John has a mother, but no father, and Jane has a father, but no mother. And in my head, Kenan, I like to think that they're actually biological brother and sister of divorced parents and don't know it.
There is a mother. The father mentions the mother being on his back and wanting to get her
Jane's,
off his back.
Yeah, it's John's mother.
No, the Jane's father's... oh my god, Jane's mother is on Jane's father's back about it, and he's narrating that. He's using more colorful words to describe her, but he's basically saying, you need to go do this to get her off my back kind of thing.
I like to prefer my headcanon better.
I'm sure people would prefer this game not exist at all, including the actors.
Nice. John and Jane both meet in the parking lot by 8 a.m., and John instantly falls in love with Jane, calling her perfect. John decides not to go to work and stays in the parking lot to wait for Jane to finish her job interview so he can meet Janet again, thinking it is more important than his job, possibly due to the fact of his mother's wanting a spouse for him. Around this time, it is revealed that the game is being narrated by Harry Armis, who also played Jane's father. When Jane is at the interview, her prospective boss, Paul Mark Thresher, tells her that despite her outstanding qualifications and recommendations, her position was canceled an hour before. When Jane gets very upset by this, Thresher says that something can be worked out after all and asks her to take her clothes off. Jesus. Which appears to be an attempt to lead Jane to have sex with him to get a job. However, when Jane refuses, Thresher attempts to rape her, and eventually Jane, still partially undressed, runs away from him. John sees Thresher chasing Jane and dashes off to save her. After a long chase sequence, which I bet is a thrilling set of slides and cue cards.
Yeah, I want to watch the video Let's Play of this just to remind myself what this game was, because it sounded familiar, and the whole chase scene is just them like kind of walking down a corridor, and then they're like buying souvenirs somewhere, and then she's like laying in front of a train track, and it's just the weirdest, most laziest thing I've ever seen.
You want to know how lazy this game is? At one point, the actor playing John screws up, and it basically would normally be an outtake because he keeps on, you know, but no, they keep it in as part of the game. So you hear him doing this screw up and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry," when the people are laughing about the screw up, and they kept it in the game.
Oh boy. After a long chase sequence through the streets of Los Angeles, the three find themselves in an abandoned building. About this time, Harry Armis is replaced by a female narrator named Wilma. For no reason, I guess. Later, she is shot multiple times.
Yeah, she acts
shot, and then Armis returns.
She acts like every stereotype of a man-hating feminist that you can think of, and then the narrator comes and shoots her. It's a wonderful moment of misogyny.
After the chase, Thresher offers to pay Jane $5 million for sex. Jane refuses after John confesses his feelings for her. John and Jane both walk out of the house with Thresher, who is going to get arrested after calling the after they call the police, and John and Jane return to the parking lot where they first met. As a reward for being honorable, Jane treats John to dinner, and they travel to her place on John's bike. While he attempts to tell her that his profession is that of a plumber, Jane believes he is joking and then replies, "Plumbers don't wear ties." Ba-da-pa. Bad endings include the following. And if Jane doesn't fight Thresher in the parking lot, Thresher will seduce... Wait, John or Jane?
Yeah. John doesn't fight.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
If John doesn't fight with Thresher in the parking lot, Thresher will seduce John, and they two will suddenly become a couple before the game tells them that they cannot be gay and should try again.
Wow.
If John decides to fight Thresher in the parking lot to help protect Jane, a few new alternative endings become possible. Like, give me something completely different is selected. Jane confesses to John that she is still a virgin and plans to become a nun, much to John's surprise. After failing to talk her out of it, John is forced to return home to have dinner with his mother, who arranges a shotgun wedding between him and Amy. If the Hollywood ending is chosen, John defeats Thresher and refuses to become a pimp.
Huh. Okay.
So, here's the thing. If you haven't seen it, TJ, you have to watch this game. Whether it's the Angry Video Game Nerd review or any of the reviews, or just a play, you know, a Let's Play, it is shockingly bad. But, like The Room, it is very, very watchable in just how bad it is.
It sounds like The Room in a lot of ways.
The Room is more coherent.
In a lot of bad ways.
The Room was more coherent. You could follow the plot of that, as stupid as it was.
Yeah. This is just random shit thrown in for the sake of it, I guess. I like how James Rolfe described it. It's like somebody did like a college experiment, took a bunch of pictures, and then just put some audio over a slideshow and called it a day. You know, it's like it's the minimal effort possible for a game.
Here's the thing. There is a movie equivalent to this. I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie The Amazing Bulk. It is basically the same thing. The thing about Plumbers Won't Wear Ties. The main thing to know about it, it is lazy. Very lazy. It's like someone did it with ADD, you know? Let's put some perspective in this, by the way. This is in 1993, when CDs had just become a thing, especially in computer games, and you start. This was the age of the full-motion video game, like Night Trap, or that stupid Rob Schneider game, which was before Rob Schneider became famous.
There's a plethora of full-motion video games that were way better than this.
Well, that's just the point, you know. This was terrible. I'm trying to remember. I know it has something to do with the woods. Oh, A Fork in the Tail. If you want something that's just as bad, try A Fork in the Tail. I mean, there were very few good FMV games. The Tex Murphy games. Gabriel Knight. Yeah, The Seventh Guest.
Yeah, Seventh Guest was good, too.
Phantasmagoria, although that wasn't full motion video. That was just a woman who was captured and put sort of like Mortal Kombat.
Well, there was two Phantasmagorias, and they were both full motion.
Sure, I remember you could walk around as her.
You could walk around in both.
Anyways, the thing is that, you know, this is the time in which people figured they could turn movies into Dragon's Lair, except using full motion video. God, I'm so glad that technology was quickly forgotten. I mean, you still have full motion video, but I think it was replaced by big video. I mean, every time you see a cutscene in a game, a lot of the times you'll see in the credits video done by Bink, which was basically allowing you to have cutscenes without needing a CD. And thankfully, there was one really, really, really good story that was basically a FMA full motion video game, and that was Her Story. I haven't played, but I know it won numerous awards. But that was a more creative use of the medium. But you don't see full motion video games anymore, basically.
Right.
The only ones I really mix that much are like you said, Dragon's Lair, Space Ace.
Yeah, those are those are in full motion video. They were technically they were.
And Mad Dog McCree, that was a good one.
Oh no, I preferred Cliffhanger, which took the anime series Lupin the Third, and turned it into a game.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was kind of gory. I mean, at one point he was picking fingers off the car door.
Huh. That is uncharacteristically not Lupin. They were going for Lupin, but that doesn't sound like Lupin.
By the way, there was a spiritual sequel to Her Story. It's called Telling Lies. I haven't played that either.
He was also mentioning Wing Commander 3 was another.
That wasn't. The Wing Commander 3 was famous for having famous actors doing voices for the very first, you know, not for the first time, but it had Mark Hamill and James Earl Jones and.
It had tons of video scenes though that you interacted with.
Or am I thinking of the first Wing Commander?
Maybe the first, because the third one had Malcolm McDowell and Mark Hamill in it.
Anyways, I still have to play Her Story. Everybody's reading about it.
There's also plenty of the Red Alert and Command & Conquer games that always had full motion video in between the cutscenes.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Those weren't... You see, the games we're talking about, full motion video was the entire game, right?
Like Mad Dog McCree.
Well, not just that, but that was a light gun game, and light gun games, I don't really count. I'm thinking more about stuff like Night Trap, in which it wasn't like it was just, you know, it was a game that was all full motion video. Like, it's gonna be done right, like Her Story, but it's something thankfully we've gotten way, way, way past.
Oh, actually, isn't
unless it's a Hideo Kojima game, then.
Isn't Contradiction? Small. Contradiction is full motion video, pretty much. You're doing questioning and all, and scenes and video.
Okay. I'm just saying this genre of game is thankfully dead for the most part.
Yeah.
Adventure games don't need FMV. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to game news, and maybe the biggest news of the year so far. which is kind of odd because it's the same day that a console got announced. Anyway, Blizzard is facing a boycott after removing a Hearthstone Grandmaster, and this comes to us from PC Gamer, although I could say from every single corner, because this has hit mainstream in a big way. Blizzard's removal of Hearthstone Pro Engwai, Blitzchung, from the Grandmasters has prompted a backlash from players, not just of Hearthstone, but many of whom are boycotting the company. The Grandmaster player was removed from the tournament after he called for a quote-unquote liberation of Hong Kong in a post-match interview. This, according to Blizzard, was a breach of extremely broad tournament rules that allowed the company to give players the boot for acts that, in quote-unquote, in Blizzard's sole discretion, damage Blizzard or the player's public image or offend a portion of the public. I'm going to stop right there. So let's break down Blizzard's sole discretion here. And then offend a portion of the public. And my think is, okay, we're not, that rule was basically to protect minorities, you know? I don't think the leaders of China need, we have to worry about the leaders of China being offended. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure a lot of Chinese would agree with what Blitzchung said. But let's continue this. As you know, there are serious protests in my country right now, he said after the interview. My call on stream is just another form of participation of protest that I wish to grab more attention. Blizzard's decision means that Chung won't receive anything for Season 2 and will not be able to compete in Hearthstone esports for a year. While Blizzard says it apparently stands by the players' right to express themselves, players still have to abide by the official rules, rules that officially largely forbid players from expressing opinions. Supporters of the boycott are calling it an attack on free speech. It's not. We'll get to that in a moment. Voicing their discontent on Twitter with a boycott Blizzard hashtag and closing their wallets. A lot of people have been saying, yeah, I'm not playing World of Warcraft. I'm not playing this. Canceled my pre-order of Warcraft 3, the remastered version that's coming out. On the Hearthstone subreddit, meanwhile, players are announcing they're done with the game. In a top post, a player claims they've spent $10,000 on Hearthstone. I gotta stop right there. Wow. You are dedicated. You are... I spent a lot of money on Cooking Dash, and I estimate I probably only spent like $1,000 on that, at most. $10,000 on Hearthstone.
That's crazy.
And won't be spending more. So this guy was basically, funding the education of one of the Blizzard executives' kids. Another Reddit post tells people they can refund their Warcraft 3 remaster pre-order. It's not much, but it's what I can do right now to support Hong Kong if it's an easy thing to do. Other players have accused Blizzard of bowing to pressure from Chinese investors. Activision Blizzard is one of the many game companies that Chinese publisher Tencent has invested in, though it only owns 5%. Tencent is now the largest game publisher in the world, and China is a gargantuan market, the largest PC market, which Blizzard clearly wants to appeal to. Okay, let's slice this down right now. No, it is not free speech that is being affected, because Mr. Chung did not go to jail. He was not arrested. Although, you know, considering where he lives, he has to worry about that now. However, Blizzard, you do know that China, for decades, has been known as a major human rights violator. Hong Kong is suing for democracy, and you're basically, and I love using this word because it's actually, you know, basically related to the country, kowtowing to a government. You are kowtowing to a government. Not to people, a government. And let's ignore even the fact that, you know, China has a communist government or whatever, or fascist, whatever you want to call it. Let's ignore that. Let's ignore all of the pejoratives that we could say about China. Let's say this player criticized France, a constitutional democracy. Would you have done the same thing for them too? No. I mean, would you? I mean, maybe Luxembourg, since Steam is here's the thing. You're kowtowing to a government and you're bowing to government pressure. So here's the thing. You know what? Don't be surprised that people get pissed at this. You know, people do have wallets. And believe me, I've been checking the hashtag Twitter, the hashtag on Twitter. You know what game keeps on getting brought up the most? Final Fantasy XIV. because people are saying, you know, you don't have to play World of Warcraft. You can play Final Fantasy XIV. We think it's better.
I've also seen there are people in Blizzard protesting it. They actually went to the...
Yeah, so, yeah. Scott, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott. So, if you ever go to Blizzard, there's a statue of a dwarf with a hammer, and there are little things on each side, you know, little plaques. And one of them says... Oh, God. Yeah,
it's Think Scott. Globally. And the other one was Every Voice Matters.
Yeah, Every Voice Matters. So, the employees covered that up with printer paper. I don't know where they got the dot matrix paper. Do they still use dot matrix?
Seriously. My office, at least. Oh, yeah. Some my fire alarm panels will have a dot matrix printer to print out reports.
It's been such a long time since I've seen that. And for those who don't know what printer paper I'm talking about, it's that printer paper that alternates between blue and white. What is that, Sam?
Sorry, I was adjusting my headset.
I thought it was a notebook paper, but yeah, they covered it up, and so clearly there's people within Blizzard that don't agree with the company's stance of what they've done.
What I would love to see happen is every U.S. player of World of Warcraft leaves, and Blizzard is forced to have World of Warcraft only in China. Oh, by the way, Blizzard, you know that this is the same government whose leader banned the use of Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, because Winnie the Pooh is becoming a punk icon.
And making fun of him personally. Mm-hmm. This is the same company where Bodies gets their bodies from. And little hint, the company did not get people who consented to have their bodies used. So that's why I avoided the Bodies exhibit, just so you know, because I knew that little fact. You can even look at them and you can tell what country they come from. But anyways, so now I must say there's a similar thing going on in the NBA right now, in which the commissioner has to deal with the fact that the Houston Rockets, you know, said some unkind things about China. Now China's pulling all their things off TV and what's it called, canceling and all that stuff, you know. And here's the thing. When you go international, you better know the things of the countries that you're dealing with. I mean, movies don't give a crap, you know, because they just send movies there and they don't have to deal with anybody else. And if someone bans their film, they just shrug and say, okay, no, we'll edit it or whatever. You know, no, this time you're dealing with an interactive medium. And I wonder if the NBA knows that, you know, their players are kind of outspoken. And they don't care about what China says if they decide to speak up. They don't care. They know what civil rights is about. You know, I don't think Blizzard has really had a civil rights fight ever, but right now they're failing.
It's just a big old bummer. Like, A.
Before you continue, I just want to, you know, the two podcasters who we said it on the show were also banned forever by Blizzard for whatever reason. They didn't encourage him. They were shocked that he said what he said, and then they cut the podcast, but Blizzard said, okay, fuck these two guys, even though they had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Which is the fucked up part.
So, like, not only is Blizzard kowtowing to a government, they're kowtowing to a government in oppression of another area. Like, it's not just protesting China, it's protesting the fact that China is oppressing Hong Kong.
Well, here's the thing. Even if that were true, let's say China did nothing wrong. The fact that Blizzard would kowtow to a government at all, you know, I mean, we could go, here's the thing. There are companies who, you know, in the 30s and 40s kowtowed to Nazi Germany because they made them money.
Right. And then there's the fact that like you said, the casters themselves were Blizzard cut ties with those casters, despite the fact that all they did was literally appear, like they showed up in the instance by mere chance of being the casters assigned to do the post interview, the post game interview with him.
Like it's like they encouraged him to say anything.
And after the fact, he doesn't apologize. He stands by what he said. He expected Blizzard to do what they did. Although, like, who wouldn't be disappointed that Blizzard is not only removing you from the competitive circuit, but they're rescinding all of his prize money because there was a clause in their rules that say that if you give Blizzard a bad name, we can choose not to pay you your winnings.
Here's a hint, you know, but here's the thing: who is Blizzard giving a bad? Who's he giving a bad name to? You know, Blizzard wasn't getting a bad name, except to a certain dozen people who hold the purse strings, who hold the media, who control the media, they control the company. See, it couldn't happen here in the United States. The United States has just as many civil rights violations, right? But there is no way that that the United States government, at least right now, we're not going to talk about the future, but, you know, at the present, could ever tell Blizzard, yeah, we're going to cut you off all media. You can't do any media, you can't sell your games, you can't do anything. Because they don't have that kind of control over private industry. China does not have private industry. You know, they have state TV and they have, you know, and they control all the businesses. And there's a little line I'd like to tell Blizzard. There's a little saying by Benjamin Franklin. He wrote it in the Farmer's Almanac, or Poor Richard's Almanac. If you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Yeah, and I mean, like,
so here's the thing: Blizzard was trying to avoid a bad name on Blizzard. Well, guess what? If you wanted to avoid that, you did the exact opposite.
Blizzard wasn't trying to avoid a bad name on Blizzard. I think they had their hands tied on this one. I think they were just trying. They were literally just trying to appease the people that they felt would have an effect on their business. No.
There's an old biblical saying. You know, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve money and God. You can replace God with whatever you want. So whatever. But here's the thing. Blizzard had a choice. Either they served money or they served the people. They decided to serve money. Because you can't serve both.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. You have to have a place in which you say, it's not worth it.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, they weren't trying to protect their image. They were trying to protect their investors. And
the shareholders, I guess, you know, the fact that, okay, here's some stats for you. You know, 30% of all Hearthstone income came from China. But here's a question for Blizzard. What is it worth to you? There's another old saying, what value is, I'm going to have to look it up. But go ahead and talk, TJ.
I just think that I wouldn't say protect so much as like appease. There is the fact that Tencent has a 5% stake in Activision Blizzard. There is also the fact that that China has a very, very, very strict stranglehold on media in the Chinese region. And being able to operate video games and like multiplayer games in the Chinese region has become more important in today's global economy. Like, people make a lot of money over there.
Here's the thing. For what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?
Yeah, I like that line. I remember that one.
Because, you know what? Okay, fine. You want to make money? Then fine, make money. But guess what? I hate to break this to you, but everyone dies. Everyone dies, and you know what? If you want people to do a web search on you and find out what you did, there's nothing that's gonna. There's no PR that you'll have after you're dead that'll correct it. Blizzard has to remember they have a legacy, and their legacy might be we conspired with an oppressive dictatorship. There's a lot of people who have recently had to apologize profusely for, you know, collaborating with Nazis because they thought they were going to make money. You know? And here's the thing. Say what you want about Electronic Arts. They haven't done this yet.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Blizzard has their hands in a lot of esports scenes. Electronic Arts has their hands in, I guess they have it in FIFA and Madden and stuff
they have global products. You know? And what's funny to me is that a lot of games twist themselves to avoid pissing off China. Let me give you an example. Homefront is based on the concept that Korea will attack the United States because it has a powerful economy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you just have to mentally scratch out Korea and enter in China because basically they're describing China, only not China. It's North Korea because they have that power. Like I said, you know, you'd be shocked at how fast companies can fall. Let me ask you a question. How many people in 1980 thought that Atari would be wiped off the face of the earth? They were wiped off the face of the earth because they did some really dumb business practices. Number one, Nintendo came to them and said, hey, let's do a console together. Atari said, no. You know, hey, let's rush out a licensed game, a licensed movie game, which we know is always going to be a hit. That's funny to me because, you know, at the time, people were really excited over the idea of a movie licensed game. These days, you hear a movie licensed game, you say,
yeah, they basically started the trend of bad movie licensed games.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Enron was here today, gone tomorrow, you know. There's no such thing as too big to fail. Some news that popped up, which was shocking to people, that one of the biggest games of the year was going to be debuting on the Epic Games Store. I think it was, I don't know, was it Cyberpunk? No. Oh, yeah, it is Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is going to be an Epic Games Store exclusive for a limited time. It's technically not an exclusive game. It'll just be coming on Steam and GOG later. But, you know, Valve is now dealing with the fact that... Red Dead Redemption is rumored to be an Epic Games Store. That's right. For the PC. By the way, that's another news item that... that we're not going to talk about. Red Dead Redemption 2 is officially coming to PC and Google Stadia. And here's the thing. Epic is just knocking on their door, on Valve's door, and saying, hello. And here's the other thing that's probably scariest for Valve. You know who might do their own store? Rockstar.
I mean, they have the capital to do it.
But for Grand Theft Auto 6. Now, let's put this in perspective. Grand Theft Auto 5 has made a billion, kajillion, million, zillion, dillion dollars. And if you think 2K wants to share that 30% of it with Valve, you got another thing coming. So while Valve may seem like they're on steady ground right now, they can be an also-ran just like that. They could be gone. You know, and just another storefront that doesn't have as much power. Blizzard has to realize they're not the only MMO out there. They're also not even the only Magic the Gathering Online is chuckling right now. You forget Hearthstone, come to us. We started the entire thing.
And this was just ahead of BlizzCon too, so like you know that people aren't about to forget about this when they get into that audience.
If they're there, I mean, why bother now? I guess you can't really refund tickets. But boy, I'm waiting to see the t-shirts. And here, the other thing is that one thing I skipped over in the article was that we're not finding out what other Hearthstone pros are thinking. I'm pretty sure they're giving it a lot of thought. But if they really wanted to kick Blizzard in the past, they could all just say, we're done. We don't need you. And that's the other thing Blizzard doesn't seem to understand, is that they're not a commodity. They're a luxury. And people don't need them in the end. Video games are very fickle. They'll find something else. I mean, Sega found that out the hard way.
Yeah. I wonder if Magic the Gathering Online, Magic the Gathering Arena is doing any better because in the wake of the, I wonder if they're going to do any better in the wake of this.
Well, here's the thing: people may just stop playing Blizzard games, period, and not replace it with anything. I mean, like I said, you know, people are saying, you know, if you don't like, here's the thing: World of Warcraft. You know, there are other MMOs out there who are just waiting for World of Warcraft to fall.
Yeah, like Guild Wars. That's a good one.
Well, Guild Wars. Guild Wars 2, actually, because I don't know if.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2.
I don't know if anybody still plays the first Guild Wars. I mean,
they are playing the second one.
Yeah, I know, but are they still playing the first one? Is the one I'm wondering. I think you can use your own computer as a server or something.
Yeah, you have your own instance whenever you're playing, so events will actually transpire and there'll be random events to.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if the company has to host servers or if you can go, you know, like other MMOs like Counter-Strike, where you can have your own computer as the server. I'm wondering.
I think it's your own computer because I was playing it. In fact, you can download it for free and play, I think, the first 20 levels or something for free. And you go off, you go into a world and you, and you're in an instance and then you play in your starting area and then the city there is huge. I mean, just gigantic.
Well, anyway, getting back to Blizzard. Right. Like I said, you know, Blizzard better tread carefully, because here's the other thing: they also have employees, you know, and employees may decide, you know what? I don't know if it's harder for developers, of course, because you know there's always indie development, you know, and there's always going to someone else. I mean, there's plenty of people. I mean, you think Electronic Arts isn't saying, well, this is an opportunity. We need some more people to build FIFA, damn it.
This was also after Blizzard and Activision cut like 600 jobs to focus in on their major franchises. So it's like, how secure do you feel with a company that may fire you any day and also doesn't care about human rights?
You know, the reverse is true, too. I mean, basically what Blizzard is doing is putting all of its eggs in one basket. You know, if you're going to consolidate rather than diversify, you know, if you drop those eggs, you're in trouble. I mean, how much of their income depends on the fact there are, I don't know what the numbers are now. I know they rose when World of Warcraft Classic came out, but let's say there's 10 million subscribers. What happens if half those subscribers decide it's not worth it and leave and don't come back? You know, there's a major chunk of money that's missing. And, you know, you really have to feel bad about all those Chinese gold farmers, too. I mean, they have to deal with this, too. Well, just think of the Chinese gold farmers, damn it. Who are they going to farm gold for?
Yeah, who knows? There's a lot of things that are about to happen, and I feel like this is not the end of this story.
No. See, the world's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and at some point, you know, something has to happen with Hong Kong. You know, either you're going to have a Tiananmen Square incident, either something bad happens or China just gives up.
It has been getting violent over there, I've heard.
Oh, I know it's getting violent, but at some point, yeah, you're going to have a Tiananmen Square thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if people are going to react to China cracking down like they did in 1989, as they do now. We'll see. For one thing, Hong Kong's on an island, you know. It's not part of mainland China, so there's less things that they could get away with, you know, because there's too many eyes now. Those stupid cell phones. Everybody can shoot video now. That must be a nightmare to totalitarian states when you can say one thing and there's about like 5,000 videos saying, nope, you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's move to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
PlayStation 5 launches holiday 2020 from Hollywood Reporter. Sony Interactive Entertainment Jim Ryan told Wired the PlayStation 5 will be released in time for the holidays next year. "It's nice to be able to say it," said the exec. "Like a giant burden has been lifted from my shoulders." The new console, which was revealed to be in the works in April, will feature improved hardware over the current generation of systems that will aid in processing power, lead to higher fidelity graphics. The PlayStation 5 will have improved ray tracing tech, a rendering technique that leads to ultra-realistic visuals, and faster download speeds. Furthermore, the PS5 will change how software is installed on the console, allowing players to potentially download individual components of a title instead of the entire product. Rather than treating games like a big block of data, we're allowing finer-grained access to the data, said system architect Mark Cerny.
Yeah, we're gonna dissect that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Also revealed in the Wired piece were details of the PlayStation 5's controller, which will feature improved haptics, essentially the feel of the controls, like the PS4's current DualShock 4 controllers. The PlayStation 5 handheld hardware will have a speaker built in, though the audio will be improved and work in closer tandem with the haptic controls to create a more immersive experience. The PlayStation 5, along with competitor Microsoft's Project Scarlet console.
I really hope they keep that damn name. I mean, it's like Project Scorpio. Don't change it. We like it.
The company's successor to the Xbox One, which is also due out next holiday season, signals the start of the next video game console generation. Both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One were launched in 2013. Sony is hoping for a similar performance from its PlayStation 5 that it got from PS4, which has sold over 100 million units worldwide.
That's not going to happen, because that was partly because Microsoft screwed up royally with their presentation at E3 and selling it at $500 with the Kinect, and also the bashing it took for potentially being an online-only machine, you know, which and all that stuff. Yeah, Microsoft's not going to pull that again. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot again like that. Yeah, I don't care about processing power and higher fidelity graphics and ray tracing. Of course, what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, the PlayStation 5 is going to have even worse graphics. No, it's going to improve. Haptics? Who cares? I mean, my cell phone has haptics. I don't care. But let's talk about potentially downloading individual components of a title instead of the entire product. Okay. That's telling me physical media no good. We don't want physical media anymore, because that's basically what happened. You use a CD. Whenever you play a game with a DVD, that's all that happens. You only get an individual component of the game and play it on your system. Well, not anymore now that they download, but that's how it used to be. You know, remember when you popped in a CD or a DVD? You noticed that the disc kept on spinning inside the drive,
yeah, it's
right?
Loading part of the game, right.
Yeah, that's so what they're telling me is they're going all in on streaming. That's basically what they're saying. We're just going to download a bit of the game, and then we're going to stream the rest of it, the data. Okay. I mean, that'll do several things. One, it'll make your hard drive more efficient because you have less crap on it, you know? You'll be able to have a smaller hard drive because you're not storing a lot of stuff on it. But the thing that I have questions about, it seems like you'll be owning less of the game.
You know, I just got a micro SD for my Switch. And the little thing is the size of my fingernail.
Yeah.
And it has 256...
Yeah,
micro SD. Yeah. And it's the size of my pinky fingernail, and it has 256 gig of gigabyte space on there. So that's a lot of space for such a tiny little thing.
Well,
and you're telling me... I mean, you know, it's like I don't really see a hard drive being that much of an issue. They're really tiny now and can have an incredible amount of space on them.
Actually, here's the thing. From what I remember about Scarlet, and I think it's for the PS5 too, although I don't remember, is that they're going to be using SSDs, which to me is a lot better. I like that. You know, having a solid straight drive in your It's gonna be much better.
Quieter, less moving parts, mm-hmm. faster download speeds and upload speeds, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting ready to get a new desktop, and one of the things I'm gonna get is I'm gonna get one with 1 terabyte of SSD and 3 terabytes of data storage, you know, regular hard drive, so that, you know, the fast things go fast, and the stuff that I don't really care about, aka data, I don't care about the speed of that, you know, so. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And he said it's nice to be able to say, yeah, we already knew since April. You already told us since April. So I don't know why. I mean, the release date? Yeah, of course it was going to be in the holiday of 2020. What do you think? They were going to pull an Atari and launch it in January like they did the 7800? The Atari 7800 makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why what it is about ray tracing that, like, is – I guess it's, like,
okay,
understanding the way that light works and translating it into the game, but, like
– the rendering process is a ray that's going along contours and curves and edges, creating the shapes.
Sure, but why is everybody so boner happy over it in this new generation?
Here's the thing. Movie CGI, the one that you see frame by frame by frame by frame, that's ray tracing. It allows you to do textures. I mean, the way light – here's the thing. Light behaves like light. Instead of having – with CGI, you have a texture and you shine light on it and it reacts basically, you know, on you know, the rules that you give it. Ray tracing does individual light rays, so you get much more realistic graphics, the way light interacts with material, the way light refracts. It's while regular CGI, let me put it this, ray CGI shines a light, and the light, ray tracing does one light particle at a time, and each light particle reacts differently depending on what it's hitting, whether it's the texture, you know, whether it has bumps in it or what it's made of. So when you get ray tracing, you get super realistic graphics. I mean, it's that much closer to having photorealistic.
Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't understand what ray tracing is. I just don't understand why everybody like that. That was the flagship feature of this new generation.
Because it's a lot easier to program. It is a lot easier to program because you no longer have to worry about a set of rules. There's now just one rule, basically. Light, surface, how it reacts. That's it.
Interesting. I think outside of that, like, as far as like the streaming and owning a game thing, like, I don't know. I don't know if I care that much anymore. Most of my games are digital nowadays. I don't go for physical copies anymore. And like,
that's not entirely true. I mean, I do go for physical copies on occasion. One of the things is I've been playing on my Xbox 360 again, and you know what? Had the games been digital, I would not have a lot of these older games because I would not be able to find NCAA Football 14.
It would be off
the market. I would not be able to play it. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that worries me. We can play a lot of 360 games because they're physical copies. Moving on to Xbox One, what happens if a game is so old that the publisher no longer wants to host it anymore?
That's kind of what happened with the Minecraft Telltale story mode. You can't buy it anymore.
There's physical copies. At least you have that.
Right.
But, you know, let me ask you a question. Tell me how I can play Heroes on City of Heroes.
I mean, I guess you can't. Unless
that's
somebody...
That's why I bought Breath of Fire 3 at a MegaCon. That way I could play that game again, because the Sony store only has it for the Vita, and I don't have a Vita. I want on the PlayStation, but you have to. It's weird that you have to buy it only on the handheld version. I don't know why it's not both. So I bought a physical version of it that was PS1 and still plays on a PS3. And I'm really concerned if they're going to allow any backwards compatibility to the PS3 or PS4 titles to the PS5 or not.
Likely PS4. I would absolutely bet on PS4 being or PS5 being backwards compatible to PS4. I don't think it'll be earlier than that. I read an interview recently that they are definitely not going for PS1, PS2 backwards compatibility. PS3 maybe, but only because its hardware is a little closer to PS4. Absolutely, PS4 will be backwards compatible with PS5.
But see, but here's the thing, you know, there's actually a site called delistedgames.com, which will list which games you can still get, and there's a lot of games you can never ever get again. I mean, even the crappy games, even something like Yaris, that was an advert game, that was one of the worst games. You can't find it anymore. Even though I might want to say, I want to remember what that was like. You know. There are games that are no longer around, you're never going to find it, and that scares me because there are some games that will be wiped from the earth forever.
Lost, like tears and rain. For preservation's sake, that does suck. Yes, that is true.
Well, like Yahtzee said, how are we going to learn from the past if we wipe away the past? You know? I mean, go ahead.
By making the same mistakes over and over again to reinvent the past.
I'm playing three games. I talked about this last week. I'm playing NCAA Football 14, Major League Baseball 2K13, and College Hoops 2K8. And I'm just noticing things from it that we don't have anymore. Like, oh, by the way, Major League Baseball 2K13 is really pissing me off because I decided to do my career thing with a reliever, and then the second year, basically when I gave up, there were 18 games and I relieved in 15 of them, even though I was supposed to be the closer now. Three pitchers had one game pitched after 18. That's ridiculous, you know. I don't think the game was properly made to account for a reliever schedule, even though it's supposed to be using the same thing the season mode would do. Oh well. Next time I'm just going to do a starter or a position player because at least you know the starter's only going to pitch every 5 days no matter what. Position player will play every day for the most part. But I'm going to say, you know, College Hoops 2K8 has so many features in terms of doing the college thing, and the same thing can be said about NCAA Football 14. It's like, wow, these games structurally are better than the games we have now. They have more features and all that stuff, you know, but it's not backwards compatible, so if you tossed out your Xbox 360 and can't find a disc, you're shit out of luck.
There's an entire other double-edged sword to the idea of owning a game versus like all 100% streaming as well. On one end, owning the game, having access to the code means that you can play around with different code and create mods, which is like that's a whole community. We all know about it.
Streaming game.
But on the flip side of that, it's way harder to introduce cheats into an online multiplayer game if you're streaming it as opposed to being able to handle the code. And so, and I know that I
online game.
Yeah, I know that you don't care, but like I do. I play all of them. And that's something that highly concerns me. Apex Legends and PUBG are rife with cheaters, and I would like those people to not have a chance.
But here's the thing. I want to cheat in a single-player game. I reserve the right to cheat. Here's the thing. College Hoops 2K8 has a sliders for, you know, shoot three-pointers, shoot all that stuff, right?
But TJ's not talking about single-player. He's talking about multiplayer game.
I get it.
For sure.
But here's the thing. I can't do that anymore if I play NBA 2K20. It doesn't allow me to play the game I want to play. You know? If I want to move the sliders around, let me. I'm not hurting anybody. But now those have been taken out because guess what? We have to have Ultimate Team. And oh yeah, you know, we want you to buy virtual currency just to be able to, and we can't make you want to buy virtual currency if you make the game easier. or use the sliders. Although, you know, here in sports games, and you should know this, TJ, there, if you go to Operation Sports, there are tons of pages that tell people what sliders to use to get the game most realistic.
For sure.
Because the developers screw up most of the time. You can't do that with the new games. If it's something screwed up, guess what? You live with it. And oh, by the way, look at how many bugs the NBA 2K20 has.
Yes. And so that's what I'm saying. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, being able to own the game means that you have the means to fix it, quote-unquote, and or mod it to your liking. That said, as far as, like, multiplayer games go, like Overwatch, like Apex Legends, I see it being a step in the direction of...
If you think you can't cheat a streamed online game, you're crazy.
How do you cheat a streamed game that you don't have access to the code on?
It's all about data. It's all about the data, what's it called, entry and exit. You can still cheat the game even if it's streaming.
I guess hackers will find a way.
Yeah, it's like Jurassic Park for hackers. Hackers find a way. I mean, you could have it so that, what's it called, that it registers key presses that didn't come from you, came from a trainer. How do you know? It's streaming. As a matter of fact, it would be easier to cheat in some streaming games because there's no way to get feedback.
At that point, aren't you talking about actually having hardware that has macros installed in it?
Hardware have macros. You could have software that has macros. I mean, you could have cheaters will cheat. That's it. You know, there are some people whose e-penis is tiny and they need to make it bigger.
I feel like it's more difficult to cheat a game that's being streamed to you from a remote location as opposed to having the code right there in a folder that you can easily open up and access.
Yeah, and any cheats won't stop griefing either, so you have that as well.
Yeah, but that's an entirely different problem. I'm just
same
saying
problem. From two different angles.
No, I'm talking about I feel like it's going to be an interesting double-edged sword, and it's going to be interesting to see how video games evolve as a result of it. I hope that things like I love old games. I absolutely love old games. I don't want to see them die.
Well, what happens if Sony decides you're a bad person and decides, you know what, we're going to shut down your library because you don't own these games?
I'm not a bad person, so I don't fear that.
If they think you're a bad person, they can do it. And they can tell you what to do.
I don't know. In this theoretical world of yours, what did I do to Sony?
You bought someone else's game.
Oh, okay.
You bought someone else's game instead of their game. They decide, you know what? All the games you bought, you don't own them anymore.
Well, if Sony does that to me, I don't buy a Sony product going forward. Like, that's simply what happens then, because I vote with my wallet.
It's amazing how people don't vote with their wallet. Although, I will say this. People are actually trying to vote with their wallet now with Blizzard. Here's the thing, you know, when people are whining about EA and this and that, you know, and Jim Sterling starts negative rage mongering, you know, I don't give a shit about what EA does, and I don't give a shit about loot boxes. You know what I do with loot boxes? I don't buy them, and I don't buy the games that play them. But gamers do, and it makes me pissed off that they complain about gambling and then engage in the same gambling. At least with this, with what we were talking about earlier, with Blizzard, people are voting with their wallet.
Yeah, I've seen people that are talking about shutting down their Battle.net. Their Battle.net account.
I mean, here's the thing: Reddit is going fucking nuts. I mean, the Blizzard Reddit has been shut down, and so has the Hearthstone. It's a fluid. By the way, we're talking about this on a Tuesday. This is extremely fluid. Things could really change radically by the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah, that was a thing that also pissed everybody off, is they posted that decision about banning that player and then removing those casters, and turned off comments on the article.
Yeah, really makes them look bad, very bad.
Like, and here's their worst nightmare is, unlike loot boxes, well, loot boxes have become sort of mainstream. No, this shit is on CBS, it's on CNN, it's on... The last thing a computer game company wants is negative news that's gone mainstream, so that people who don't play video games are casting side eye at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, who knows? I like I said, I don't think it's the end of that story. It's definitely gonna there's definitely gonna be more going on before the end of it. I feel like he's like, especially as many vocal players are as there are in the esports space and the competitive space worldwide. That guy is not Blitzchung is not going to be the last person to voice his opinion about what should or shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and here's the thing: what if doing this just makes more people? I mean, here's yeah, we have to remember that this is going in hand with what's going on in the NBA. You know, this everything is connected, so it'll be interesting what happens with the NBA as well. I mean, and the commissioner of the NBA is in a rougher spot because, like I said, you know, he has a lot of players who are very used to discrimination and used to, you know, oppression, and they, you know, China is an oppressive place. So they're gonna cast a side eye at the commissioner, and you know, he has to balance everything because right now the players have had more power than ever in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure.
And oh,
PlayStation
way,
5.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, the Houston Rockets are the worst team to what's it called to get into this because they're one of the power elite games. Like the Yankees getting involved in this. Anyways, the PlayStation 5, I don't care. Let me just see what the games are. Because here's the thing, you know what I'm hoping is that when the PlayStation 5 comes out, the PlayStation 4 drops in price so that I can get a cheap $100 PlayStation 4 and a copy of whatever the latest MLB the show is, so I can at least have one good MLB game on my in my living room or my room.
Seems like PlayStation 5 is really kind of like Sony has really been watching what Microsoft has been doing and playing along to that tune. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, let's just remember Sony is finally starting to say, okay, fine, cross-platform gaming, whatever.
Yeah, they did that kind of under the radar too. It's like quietly announced that that
cross-platform. We talked about it last week in a news item.
Right. But like they totally like tried to go under the radar with it, like, and just be like, hey, by the way, cross-platform development tools are now out of beta.
Yeah, people play friggin' online games. You think they don't know?
For sure.
People think the players of Fortnite don't know?
But like it's apparently been in beta. The movement is moving from like where only a handful of developers can use it to where any developer that wants to put crossplay in their game with Sony can do it.
But what about the children? That's the reason why Sony didn't want cross-platform, because there are child predators out there from Nintendo's own playbook.
Right, because they can't control your experience. They can't show you what you want to see. Or what they want you to see if you're playing on another system with those dirty Xbox kids.
Well, here's the thing. Just be glad that Sony didn't force you to make a friend code. You have to swap friend codes. That's hard. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay.
Something that's definitely happy news.
Okay. Doom Eternal delayed until March 2020. Doom 64 goes multi-platform. This is from Metro UK. Bethesda has announced that Doom Eternal won't be out this Christmas after all, but has instead been pushed back to next year. Anyone looking forward to taking on the powers of hell with naught but a shotgun and a chainsaw will have to keep their powder in check until almost Easter. The game's new release date is 20th March 2020 on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. There is a Nintendo Switch version too, but won't be out until even later. The previously announced Invasion mode, which will allow you to enter another player's game as a demon, still won't be ready in time for launch too. So that's like a Dark Souls version or
also
mode.
It's also like Left 4 Dead yes. 2.
Uh-huh. If you pre-order now, though, you'll get a copy of N64 Classic Doom 64 for free on any format and not just the Switch. It'll be released in March, too. So that's nice. Yeah. Get a pre-order, you get a game. I like that.
Well, here's the thing. For those of you who don't know who Doom 64, so Doom 64 came out a few years after Doom 1 and Doom 2. And basically, it was almost like a remaster of Doom. It's like Doom 2.5. All the textures were upgraded, all the AI, all the weapons, all the graphics, you know, and all that stuff. So it's like a forgotten piece of Doom lore unless you own a Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I like that they put a pre-order as a old, you know, previous version of the game to tide you over, and it's like I said, that's an actual, you know, useful, good pre-order incentive, pre-order game.
By the way, it wasn't developed by id either. It was developed by Midway Games.
Is id even around anymore?
Yes, of course they are.
I don't know.
They made Rage 2.
Okay, I forgot. Oh, I thought that was,
Bethesda? That was... Bethesda owns id.
Okay.
Bethesda owns all of the old id properties, including Doom.
Okay, because that's like saying Activision owns Sierra and...
No,
yeah.
Activision owns Blizzard.
I was going to say Sierra, but yeah, that too.
But it was actually a sequel to the first two games. Well, after the final Doom thing.
March is getting packed.
Yeah, well, you know the reason why. Why, right?
Why?
You know what March is? March is the end of the fiscal quarter, fiscal year.
Ah.
So what happens is everybody shoves their games into March to bloat their revenue numbers, which is why Mass Effect 3 was rushed, because EA wanted to have it in March instead of its usual November. So they rushed the game, which is why the ending seemed a little truncated, you might notice.
That's so short-sighted, you know, and that's how you end up with crappy games with bugs and all these other issues that need
day
one
patch.
So yeah, that's I guess, I mean, the good news is that Doom Eternal is being pushed back to March from this coming October to make, or not October.
Yeah, it was going to be It was going to be a Halloween type game.
Then it makes me really appreciate Nintendo with their stance on Animal Crossing and pushing that back to also March 2020.
Well, in this case, Bethesda gets its cake and eat it too. Not only do they have the, you know, have extra work on it, but they say, you know what, we might as well push it back to March so that we can at least add it to our revenue because on Fallout 76.
That's a good point. Yeah, exactly. They need to not release buggy games like that and take more time. So that's at least something.
Yep. And other things come out in March. That's, like you said, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, which everybody in the world has been waiting for forever.
Yep.
Not me. Here's the thing. You know, I think Yahtzee put it best in saying, you know, you don't play that game. That game owns you.
Watch Dogs Legion, which, like, I will say, Watch Dogs Legion does look like the most interesting Watch Dogs game.
Yeah, they said that about Watch Dogs. They said that about Watch Dogs 2. I will not be fooled again. Sorry. That's why I don't buy Assassin's Creed games anymore. I am tired of them say, oh, this looks so cool, and play as,
I mean, I was there to watch Watch Dogs 2 when it was first revealed, and there was nothing exciting to me about watching Hacker Manstein jump out off a balcony into a car, drive away, shooting people along the way, Grand Theft Autoing his way through Hackerville.
Yeah, the original movie Hacker said their only crime is curiosity. In Watch Dogs 2, their only crime is curiosity, manslaughter, vehicular homicide, assassination.
Right. Watch Dogs Legion, like the whole play as anyone thing, which like I am curious to see the full depth of that because there has to be limitations, right? I'm curious to see how that plays out. And then there's Final Fantasy VII Remake, which everybody, the rest of the half of the world that's not playing Animal Crossing is. It's Final Fantasy VII. It's the good one. It's the good one.
I was a PC gamer, not a console gamer during that period. I don't care.
It's the good one.
I didn't play with toys in the 90s. I was half kidding. I don't poo-poo consoles, but I just wasn't a console gamer until after the Dreamcast was discontinued and they started selling Dreamcast for $40. Then I bought it. That was in 2000, I believe. And then I bought it. And I enjoyed NBA 2K 01 and 2. and MLB, you know, and that's how I got. I never played the other types of games on the Dreamcast. I guess the Dreamcast was only a sports game for me, because I didn't play stuff like Project Gotham. It wasn't Project Gotham. It was, oh damn, what was the predecessor named? Metro. Well, whatever.
And then finally, Vampire: The Masquerade Bloodlines 2, which not even Jonah can harumph about.
Looking at that, no, well, I am looking at the game the same way I looked at Thief, and hopefully it won't disappoint me like Thief. Oh, I forgot to mention what we've been playing. We won't get into it, but I will say I've been playing Dishonored 2. Have you played it at all, TJ?
No, not even a little.
So, they have Stephen Russell's voice in there, and the only reason to play as Corvo is that they made the game almost exactly like a traditional Thief game, right down to Garrett muttering about stuff. You're stealing stuff. It doesn't really do anything. And there is no dark gem, but, you know, he steals stuff. He does that. He sneaks around. It's like playing Thief: The Next Generation with Garrett played by the right person. So that's the only reason to play Dishonored 2.
That's incorrect. The only reason to play Corvo is because he's Corvo. Corvo is badass.
No. You can play as the Empress.
Sure, but what I'm saying is they're both great characters. Yeah, they're both great. They're both great characters. I love Corvo. I love his daughter, Emma Caldwin.
I love Garrett even more, and this is the closest thing I'm going to get to Garrett. Anyways, it's okay. Right now on this current level, I'm trying to ghost it, and ghosting in this game is extremely hard.
Once you start getting powers,
even with the powers, it's extremely hard to ghost, which means you did not alert anybody.
Right. That is a toughie. Because there are, like, it feels like there are
it's
some
less forgiving than Thief, let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, there it's not very randomized, but there are things that can happen that feel like it can add a little bit of chaos to the game.
It's, well, I've managed to go through the entire game without killing anybody, at least. The thing is that once you get the game the ability to control rats, then it becomes a little easier to ghost because you just scurry by people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's on Game Pass. It's okay. I think you might enjoy it, TJ.
I'm sure I would. Like, Sam is, my spouse is, has been haranguing me forever that's the game that we need to go to once we finish with everything else. But once we finish with everything else, a new game comes out.
Well, and the benefit is that it's $20 if you just buy it now.
Right. And I keep saying, someday we'll sit down and play it. That and Shadow of War and all the other games that are sitting up there on the farm.
Yeah, I still haven't played Age of Wonders: Planet of Fall yet. By the way, there was a game that I own that I saw a video on, which just made, oh, you know what? I want to play that again. And that's Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri. Just watching the video made me remember how great a game it is, and now I feel like I want to play it again.
Hmm.
Instead of, you know, that other game.
I was just talking about that last week when I was asking, do you think they'll ever go to any more of the Sid Meier's games, or do you think they're just going to do Civilization Forevermore now?
I hope they do Alpha Centauri.
There's that. There's Pirates, and I think there's a couple more.
I think somebody else has the rights to Alpha Centauri. Unfortunately, that's why they can't make another one.
There's also a remake of Colonization, but I still like the first Colonization better. But yeah. Anyways, Doom Eternal. So I know a lot of people who are somewhat disappointed by the delay because they all think that Doom Eternal is the shit. They are really, really looking forward to it. They want a shooter that is just cock your shotgun and blow some demons to bits.
And this time you get a laser sword. A hell laser sword.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It looks like the sword that you get your hands on looks straight up, like it's straight out of a Power Rangers movie.
Anything like a lightsaber is good by me.
You know what they need to do? They need to buy the rights from Crytek to the Painkiller series and make a Painkiller game.
That would be dope. It does Painkiller. Yes, I'd take it.
Find the people who from People Can Fly to do it. That was the original developer, and then they turned into, what was it, Crytek East or something like that.
People Can Fly. They did Bulletstorm.
Yeah, that too. Well, I mean, they. I don't know if they did it as People Can Fly or as their new name, which was Crytek something or other.
They definitely did it as People Can Fly.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, they were called Epic Games Poland. That's right. They weren't bought by Crytek. They were bought by Epic.
Ah, yeah.
So yeah, they were Epic Games Poland. They did Painkiller. They did the Mac ports of Gears of War, in fact, or the PC port. But yeah, they're also behind Fortnite Save the World, which is the one mode of Fortnite that I was actually interested in, which has been forgotten because of the Battle Royale mode. Anyway, what they're working on right now is Outriders with Square Enix.
I'm really interested in this invasion mechanic that they've got for Doom Eternal. It's going to be interesting, like if you can. If it's like Dark Souls, where people just invade your game at random and play as demons, or if it's something that you can turn off and on as you will, and just like add some extra challenge.
I'm pretty sure you can block people from doing that.
That would be the right call to make.
On the other hand, you know what? If I were them, I would have it permanently locked on for people in your friends list, so that they control you, so that they can annoy the hell out of you, and it's not a stranger; it's one of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get rid of them is to unfriend them.
Aww.
That would be a good way to end a friendship. Just troll someone in their game constantly. Of course, that would be hard to do because basically all they're going to do is shoot you in the face.
I think you just kill them and send them back to hell.
Here's the thing. When they say demon, what do they mean? Do they mean one of the, one of the minions? Because, like, in Left 4 Dead, you could always spawn as a regular zombie. And you had to
wait.
You had to wait before he became a special zombie.
It might be a special demon, a specific one that's, like, interdimensional and crosses from one computer to yours, and it's that only that kind of demon. So you would know right away it was a player demon and not one of the other.
There's no Kaku demons in this level.
Yeah. In 2018, when they showed the video of this invasion mechanic, the person that was invading was the skeleton with the rocket launchers. And you could obviously tell that it was them because they had a player name bar over their head.
Okay.
And so it was very much like Dark Souls. It was like invasion incoming, and then the guy played through the level a bit more, and they came across that other player. So,
but here's the thing: what do you get if you invade, though? I mean,
that is what I'm curious about too. Because in Dark Souls, if you invade someone's game and defeat them successfully, you bring a special item back to your own game, which you can then use to like either move forward or power yourself up.
I'm thinking maybe, you can get badges and stuff like that, that sort of stuff. Or maybe you can, make it more cosmetic. You can wear your friend's head for a while.
Maybe you go into someone else's game and kill them and you get the rabbit. You bring the rabbit back to your game, and as long as you have the rabbit, you're stronger and can do more damage. If you get killed, then you lose the rabbit. It's gone. Hell took it. That would be interesting, I think.
Yeah. So,
if anyone for anyone who's forgotten, the reason why the original Doom guy hates Hell so much is because they killed his pet rabbit.
Aw. Is John Wick?
His name is Doom guy. I keep on thinking of BJ Bless, but that's Wolfenstein.
Yep. They killed Doom guy's pet bunny, and so he went on a crusade against Hell to kill them all.
Is that actually in the text of the game?
It is canonical.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even joking.
I'm pretty sure that's a joke. That's what's it called? That's just, that just became canon. Because there is no plot in Doom. You're the Doom guy. You're plopped into hell. Okay, have fun.
Yeah, it even has a name. The Doom guy's pet rabbit is named Daisy.
And oh, by the way, you know what year that the first Doom took place in? It took place in the far off year of 2019. So, yeah. Anyways, hopefully it'll just be better than the Doom movie.
And the end picture of episode 4 of the original Doom, Thy Flesh Consumed. The rabbit's head reappears in Doom Guy's hand. It is here that the game mentions someone was going to pay for what happened to Daisy, your pet rabbit.
Yeah. And he's just Doom Guy. They never gave him a name ever.
Yep, he's just Doom Guy. And in Doom 2016, they call him the Doom Slayer. How extravagant.
How metal, you're supposed to say. Or does that just mean he killed the band Slayer?
He slays the Doom.
Yeah. Well, you know, BJ Blazkowicz, Gordon Freeman, Master Chief, and Doom Guy. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was a bonus version of Doom in which you had glory kills and you did all these extravagant finishing moves. Have you seen that? I forgot. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Extreme Doom. I'm not sure.
Brutal Doom.
Brutal Doom, right. So, yeah. Although, he does have a name in the books. He does have a name in the books. It's Flynn Taggart. But that's not a canonical name. It's just in the books, and no one reads books.
Anyway. I actually did read the Doom book. It was pretty bad.
It couldn't be worse than the Doom movie.
It was interesting because there was a bunch of aliens pretending to be demons to scare the humans.
The humans. Now you make it sound like Robot Monster. To be like a human. To like the... Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shark.
And we'll probably have some more enlightening news next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.
Except for anything by Blizzard. You don't have to play games anymore.
Play other games.
I'll play Minecraft.
Here's the thing. You know what? Don't feel obligated to stop playing a Blizzard game just because people say you don't. You know, it's your own moral choice, and if you just want to have fun, fine, have fun. But, you know, if you want to stop playing... That's fine with everybody. No one's going to get mad at you right now if you stop playing a Blizzard game.
That's freedom of choice, which we stand by for you, which is more than Blizzard will do.
That's true.
Especially if they cite the EULA and ban your game.
All right.
This is depressing. Bye-bye.
Bye.